Welcome to Earth Matters. This is Allison Sibig, Executive Director of Healer Resources Information Project, and I'm your host for today's program. Today, we'll continue our coverage and bring you part two of the Water Quality Control Commission's public hearing on the proposed water quality rules for the mining industry. The hearing was held here in Silver City on Friday, May 3rd at the WNMU Global Resource Center.
Let's start with Mr. Hamilton.
Good afternoon, commissioners and ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for coming to Silver City. My name is Charles Hamilton. I've been a resident of this area for several years. Our company began work down here in 1967, and we've about 46 years of work in the mining industry in Grant County, as well as all around New Mexico and Arizona. I worked in copper mines and uranium mines, worked in the mining industry for several years. I can tell you that I am in great support of the copper rule. We need to go forward with rules that where businesses can conduct their business in a proper manner and abide by the rules and the have set of rules in place that they can abide by. I also know that having worked with Freeport, Phelps Dodge, and many other mining companies around the state, that Freeport is a very good steward. They do try very diligently to do a good job when there are environmental concerns. We've done reclamation, one of the largest reclamation projects in the country for a uranium mine, and it was supervised by Atomic Energy Commission, very highly regulated. And I can tell you that Phelps Dodge also runs their operations in a similar manner, trying to uphold the best standards of the time. We can talk about a lot of things that happened 50 or 70 years ago that weren't properly done right from other companies, but today we need to look going forward what we can do to manage and be good stewards of the earth that we have today. And I thank you for your time, and thanks for your appreciation for your serving on the committee. Thank you.
Ms. Parvani,
and if you would spell your last name for me. P-E-V-A-R-N-I-K. It's Pavonik.
Thank you.
Yeah. So I didn't have my glasses on when I signed in, so I put yes there, which means I hadn't intended to speak. But in listening to people, there's a couple things I just want to say and ask. First of all, I'd like everybody in the audience who has read the copper rules to rate reason.
Ms. Parvanik, would you please direct your comments to the commission?
Oh, well, I'm just curious because I haven't read them, and I did try, and I couldn't understand them. So I put my faith in the person that I know who really takes this seriously and dedicates her life to that, and it's Allison Sibig. So I just want to say that to get up here, especially if you're working for Freeport, it's probably easy to say, yes, I support it. I need my job. I know people in this community are hurting. I teach a lot of the students, the undergraduate students, trying to get their diplomas. And so when I'm listening to you talking, last week I showed my students Salt of the Earth. And it was about how, miners, they are concerned, their jobs, their how do you pay your rent, how do you pay your utilities, how do you get by? But, you know, those folks, 60 years ago now, went without working for two or three years. We know, and I know all of you know up there, that we have to have regulations. We have to have inspections. We have to put the best knowledge, the best data that we have to use. So how many of you live in Grant County? That's the other part. I can't ask questions here. Okay. I would just say it's probably easy if you don't live in an area to kind of make some kind of statement about it. But we do live here, and we are concerned. And yes, I know the miners are concerned, but I'm concerned about the water. We're going through, global climate change. Our water is very precious here. And if it costs a little money to make the regulations that we need, then that's what we should do. And not just go back to another way of doing something and not pay attention to what the talk has been, what the conversation's been for a long time. So that's what I have to say.
Thank you very much. Mr. Lorimer.
Hello, and thank you very much. My name is Dan Lorimer. I'm the conservation coordinator and lobbyist for the Rio Grande chapter of the Sierra Club here in New Mexico. I would like to speak briefly to just a few points. It is our belief that the process designated by law has been ignored in the document that you've been presented with. I worked with Senator Hardin in 2009 on this bill and feel that I have a firm sense of his intent. It did not involve end runs. This proposed rule does not protect my drinking water or the drinking water of the 7,000 members of the Sierra Club here in New Mexico. The proposed rules give mining companies a license to pollute our scarce water resource. New Mexico is dry under the best circumstances. As you know, New Mexico groundwater is held in trust by the state for New Mexico citizens. And you are the vehicle of that trust. This rule does represent a balance, but it's a balance between the copper industry and a wildly business-friendly environment department. With no other stakeholders significantly involved. And so I and we ask you to please send this flawed rule back to the Environment Department. The copper industry can afford a legitimate copper groundwater discharge rule. This is not an industry killer. This is an industry that can afford to do it right. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Lorimer. Mr. Tim.
Thank you. Thank you for coming here and hearing us today. I'm Terry Timmy. I'm a resident of Silver City. I've lived here about 8 years, but I'm a lifelong resident of the West, so I know the value of water to all of the citizens here in the West. But here in Silver City, I think a lot of people don't realize that we're highly dependent on groundwater. All of our drinking water comes from the aquifer underneath us. And therefore, I ask you to protect that groundwater by remanding the rules back and following the Water Safety Act. Thank you.
Thank you. The next three public commenters are Patrice Muchnick, Michael Brown, and Gerald Billings. If you'd be sworn.
Thanks so much for coming. My name is Patrice Muchnick. I'm the biology lab director here at Western New Mexico University. I have a master's in environmental studies from Ohio University. I studied mostly in environmental and economic policy there while I was there. I went to, I'm from the East Coast, a Bachelor of Science from the University of Maine at Orono, pretty much a forestry school with an industry background. The most important thing that I see here for this particular hearing is that the rules that were put forward clearly violate the State Water Quality Act. If the district attorney says they do, then they probably do. In that case, the rules should be remanded immediately back and fixed so that they support and continue to uphold the State Water Quality Act. That seems to be pretty much a pretty obvious action, being that we don't want to get the rules caught up in the courts. That would seem to be counterproductive for everybody. It's very easy to polarize any situation that includes a large company, and it's easy to demonize the company, and it's easy to also be against the company. But the reality is, in any capitalist economy, there's always going to be a push and pull. The objective of the company is to make as much money as it possibly can, and the company will do that. They will continue to extract copper as long as the price supports it, and we know that as well, and that's a good thing. As long as the price supports it, they will continue regardless of the rules. It's interesting, and I think it is instructive to hear members of the community that work with the environmental consulting organizations to talk about the progress and the good neighborly and progressive reclamation processes that Freeport-McMoRan has done. And I'm afraid that we will have to thank the environmental groups of Grant County for bringing the mining companies to task. This is essentially just the nature of our system in this country. We have strong environmental groups and we have very strong capitalist industries, and it is the push and pull that creates the balance. And then it's the policymakers to make sure that the rules are supportive of an increase in human health and safety. And that's really the job that you have today. The only, again, I want to stress that unfortunately, most large companies that are in extractive industries usually follow the rules because they're made to. And it doesn't make them evil, it just makes it business. And so what we want to do is to keep moving forward. We want to keep keeping the mining companies in our communities responsible. We appreciate the change that's come over the company in the last 10 years. It's been a good thing for Grant County, and we just don't want to go back. And that lastly being said, I do have one emotional attachment to the issue. That's not why my voice is shaking. I have lived in Grant County for about 8 or 9 years, and when I first moved here, I met a young student who grew up here, and she grew up near and around some of the tailing problems and some of the mining groundwater issues that were already very apparent in the community over the last 30 to 40 years. And I don't know whether this is really well known, but Grant County does have a cancer cluster. Particularly, it's believed that this cancer cluster is associated with a cancer, a degenerative disease called scleroderma. And we have an unusually high incidence of this particular fatal disease in Grant County. And many of the individuals in Grant County who have this disease have been to support groups, and it's very clear, the evidence is clear, that this particular disease is associated with mining communities. And so our incidence is above and beyond what would be a normal background incidence of this disease. And when I see my young friend who is dying, it's hard not to want to ask the company to do better. Even though you've been doing as well as you believe you can, we can do better. And so I urge you to remand the rules and to make sure that the next set are not in violation of the Water Quality Act. Thank you so much for your time.
Mr. Brown? Mr. Brown?
Good afternoon. My name is Dr. Michael Brown, and I've managed to stay out of politics in this area, even though I've lived here for 22 years. And I used to be, I guess you'd call it, a radical environmentalist. I stood up to Bruce Babbitt when, in 1979, they had 100 million gallons of nuclear waste come out of United Nuclear, and they declared a national sacrifice area in New Mexico. But Mr. Babbitt said it stopped at the state line according to what he did about it. And the Little Colorado River is still contaminated today. And because I went around with a scintillator and checked the radioactivity in a lot of areas, today I believe that's why I have leukemia and I have prostate cancer for over 600 years now. Now, why did some of us so-called radicals do this kind of thing? Because we're concerned about our kids. We're worried about the future. It's obvious to me that Whitewater Creek eventually ends up in the membrane water basin, which has very good water down by Deming. It's a huge lake, underground lake. Anybody knows about Deming water? There's nobody here from Deming that I know of so far. But why am I talking about Deming water? Well, today I don't have to be a wetback. I can walk with sneakers across the Rio Grande over there in Las Cruces and up in Hatch. There's no water in the river. You know, we're becoming a dust bowl over here, 3 years of drought. You know, water is very valuable. Very valuable. Now, toxic heavy metals like cadmium, radium actually is more toxic as a heavy metal than it is as a radioactive substance. I know there's arsenic in the water around here. And so, the future, it's good that we need copper. We need the copper industry here. That's what a lot of people, they have their jobs. It really supports us. You know, I was always wondering when, Freeport MacMoran was going to pay for the fireworks over here. They paid for it over in Bisbee, and they left, a moonscape over there, But, Freeport does not pay its fair share of taxes because it has lobbyists and political clout, And so they're going to try and pay as little or take care of anything at the source rather than doing some tailpipe technology or by the time it reaches Deming. It's not a matter of will it reach Deming and that water over there, it's when, And if we're concerned about the future, they're making a moonscape up there in Alberta, Canada, for oil shale, the size of Florida. That's a different company. But that area is going to be a moonscape for 20,000 years or something like that. Nobody can use it for any good use. I don't think that's so great. If there's an alternative. In this case, there's an alternative in terms of the fact that we can go back to what's the safest way to do it. I don't know. Nobody has been presented with figures about contamination levels and how fast is the plume moving in which direction, So at the very least, if you don't decide to go back to the old safety water quality regs and what it says in terms of lining that was done in the past, well, how about some more studies, to see how it's going. This young lady talked about the spills on Whitewater Creek. Is that our future? Do you care about? I don't care about money today. I care about Deming tomorrow and the day after. I'm not worried about myself. I know a lot of things. I have a degree in biology, and also I taught kids, and now I'm a chiropractor, and I work on anybody. I don't care. If they don't like me or what, I take care of them. I got out of politics, But, if you feel good sleeping on the decision you're going to make for the future, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Brown. Mr. Billings?
I'm Gerald Billings. I'm a lifelong citizen of Grant County. My family's been here for several generations. I represent myself. It's been a little I haven't been here at this meeting long, and I didn't get much notice, but it's been hard a little bit to sit here and hear the mischaracterization of the people who work at Freeport and formerly Phelps Dodge. I've known dozens and probably hundreds of them, and they care about our groundwater. They care about our community. I want you to know that me and my friends, and I would speak for hundreds who aren't here, care about our groundwater. I drink groundwater. My kids and grandkids do. I hope that someday my great-grandkids drink groundwater here. And I know that the people at Freeport care about that. And we appreciate you coming here to listen to us, actually, also. I'm satisfied that the rules put forth will protect our groundwater, and we appreciate your work to and your common sense in realizing that the mining industry has been overregulated, and there comes a point when people besides the corporate giant suffer. It's the people who live and work here and work for Freeport who have to make a living, and it's the people in the community, the business owners and such who benefit from that money. We appreciate that money here, but we're not blinded to the fact that our groundwater needs to be protected, and I think the rule that's put forth has taken that into consideration. I think that's all I have to say. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Bell. Okay. If you haven't signed in yet, and I know that we have multiple doors into the auditorium, the sign-in sheets are in front of Sally. Please sign in. We use, again, the sign-in sheets as evidence of participation and for the correct spelling of your name and the transcript. There are no other folks who affirmatively represented that they wish to make public comment, but I'm always happy to take comment from those who've changed their mind. Ma'am, I see you in the shirt. Please come up to the podium and give us your name. And I see that gentleman there, and ma'am, and that gentleman in the red hoodie. That's four of you. I'll ask for another four momentarily. Ma'am, give us your name. Ruth Fox. And sir? Fred Drysdale? Frank? Okay. And ma'am? Okay. And sir? Okay. Would you all please be sworn?
Good afternoon. I very much appreciate y'all being here. I hadn't come planning to speak. I just wanted to listen. I spoke at a public hearing like this in 2001 when there was concerns about the mining industry and the effect on the county. I work for Phelps Dodge. I work for Freeport MacMoran. I work in the safety department. My husband works in the environmental department. In listening to what is going on, what being said here, it is important for us to have an ability to continue to operate. And listening to the opposition, some people, the mention of no one here from Deming, I want to point out that my maiden name is McSherry. I'm a fourth generation Grant County resident. My first cousins live in Luna County and farm on the east side of Deming. My uncle is G.X. McSherry, who is a state representative and very much concerned about the resources of New Mexico and the ability to continue to survive here in New Mexico. I grew up here, moved away when I was 20, came back when I was 34, brought a family of four stepchildren, since had my own child. I live out on the Members River, grew up on an apple orchard out there. I've never been concerned about what the mining industry did to our land because there was no real effect that we saw. I have no concerns of my child and my stepchildren drinking my well water. I think about my uncle and his agricultural business that he still has on the east side of Deming and the effects of the groundwater for him, my cousins and their children who live in Deming. I feel that the mining industry is very relevant to this area. I feel that this company, having worked in other companies in Texas where I watched them pollute the world, has worked very hard at keeping pollution out of our area, and that is very important to me. One company that I worked for in Texas, I even called the TNRCC and talked to them about what I saw going on because I was concerned. If I felt that there was something going on here, I would certainly be one of the whistleblowers. In working in the safety department, I worked there. I chose to go to that department because my brother sustained a fatal injury at the company. And so it was important to me to be able to see that the company did all that they could to keep anybody else from being hurt. And I feel the same way about that with the environment, having grown up on a farm and then still having farming families in this area. I would not want to see that damaged. And so I would be one of the first ones that would speak up if I didn't think that it was doing all that it could do. I feel the company got involved with these rules and tried to, yes, continue mining, but also to do that in a very environmentally safe way. I appreciate your time. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Fox. Mr. Drysdale.
My name is Frank Drysdale. I'm a resident of Silver City and a citizen of New Mexico. And I appreciate the Water Quality Control Commission coming here. And I really am impressed that by your membership with Game and Fish, Department of Health, and other agencies represented, as well as the Attorney General. My concern is, in the United States, we've made a lot of progress with our environment. And if you look back at air pollution, for example, going back to the 50s, it was terrible. And the industries, like power plant industries, refineries, fought control technology. But now, 50 years later, we have the best available control technology in place. We are using the best practices in our power industries. In mining, we've done the same. Surface mining, deep mining. We've seen surface water contamination in the East. Our country has worked very hard to eliminate water pollution, air pollution. We now control landfills. We line landfills. We cap landfills. We harvest methane from landfills. All of these practices have been instituted in the last 50 years. So I have faith and trust in you to assure that whatever rule you adopt has the best practices and the best available control technology incorporated to that rule. My research on this topic really brings up my major concern, are the legacy cost of not employing the best available control technology. The National Academy of Sciences, this past year, 2012, just released their report on alternatives for managing the nation's complex contaminated groundwater sites. There are tens of thousands of contaminated sites in our country that we are, some of them are Superfund sites. They're on the national priority list. You know this. We have some of those sites in New Mexico. And there is an act, this is the Comprehensive Environmental Response Compensation and Liability Act. And in this report, which you can get online, and I will give you a summary of it, they do have a relevant portion on copper. And that has to do with the Kennecott Mine, which is a predecessor to Phelps Dodge and Freeport's operation here in New Mexico in Grant County. And what had to be done in the West Jordan Valley is they settled under that Compensation Act for something like $37 million to install a groundwater treatment plant which uses reverse osmosis. And the engineering company, I believe, is Flatiron. They had to install that at a cost of $23 million to using the process of reverse osmosis, which is a membrane that takes contaminated water under pressure and purifies it to some degree. They can produce about 7 million gallons a day. the town of Silver City has a right from the state engineer's office to 5,000 acre feet per year. My main concern is that whatever rule you adopt will assure that we will not have to bear legacy costs of continued treatment of contaminated water. So thank you very much for your attention and have a good day.
Thank you. Matt? And if you would repeat your name for us.
Hello, my name is Kate Brown. I'm a 30-year resident of Grant County. I'm very happy that you're here today to hear us. I speak as a person who's a neighbor and close friend of Sally Smith, who went for 8 months, once a month, to Santa Fe to work out these new rules. And she would report back that she was very pleased with how things were going, that there was, seems like, a great deal of flexibility, a lot of reciprocity between the mining community and the environmental community, and they were looking very encouraging. And then, at the last minute, a new draft was submitted that negated all the work they did. So some sort of political pressure seems to have been brought to that process that negated all the work that was done. I'm sure you all know a lot more about that than I do, but I want to make sure that that is clearly understood, that something happened that subverted the process of creating these rules. Thank you very much.
Thank you. So, and if you would repeat your name for us.
My name is John Pollock, and I'm a resident of Grant County for the last 15 years or so. And I thank you for coming here to hear this. And, you know, I came here from Los Angeles. I was born and raised in Los Angeles, but I had to leave Los Angeles. The previous speaker spoke about the air pollution that's gotten better. Well, it has gotten better, but as a child living in Los Angeles, I absorbed tremendous amounts of hydrocarbons. And as I got older, I found out that that was affecting my body significantly. I had to leave Los Angeles. I couldn't live there anymore. The air makes me break out in a rash. But anyways, I don't have an axe to grind. I'm in the construction industry. I'm a consultant. My work is not in Grant County. And I can appreciate the folks that work for the mine wanting to have what the mine get, whatever it needs to be economically viable. And I'm curious, we have the water protection right law from 2009, and I'm curious if this new copper, interesting name, copper rule for the water protection is going to make the water better, or is it going to make it easier for the mine to do its business and kind of sort of protect the water? And that's something I think before you vote on this, it needs to go back and be really closely examined to find out if it's really going to make the water better. Because somebody said Las Cruces. I drove through Las Cruces last week. The Rio Grande's dry. You know, the Colorado River doesn't go to the ocean anymore. There's so many people. We're using up the water. And you know, I hear a lot of talk about the mines being stewards for the land. And I'm driving around by the mines, by the Tyrone mine, by the mine over by Baird. I don't get the steward part of that. And there's a huge lake up there, just in between Baird and Deming. And I'm asking, can I go up there and drink that water? Can me and my grandkids go and swim in that water? I don't think so. And there's like maybe hundreds of millions of gallons of water up there that is non-potable. You can't drink it. You can't wash with it. You can't use it. What's it doing up there? Is that protecting the water? I hear people talk about we own the water rights. They don't own the water rights. They get to use the water. And polluting so that it's unusable forevermore. Hundreds of millions, and it's a huge lake. I don't know how many gallons of water up there, but it's an enormous quantity of water. It's not usable anymore. So before you pass this on to be the new rule for the copper company, and another thing, in the construction industry, I've been in all my life, general contractor for huge buildings. It used to be every 20 houses you would build, you'd throw away enough stuff to build another house, just from inefficiency and not really caring. But I am an inspector now for low-income housing all over the country. And in most of the major cities in the country, construction industry now has to have a no landfill rule in their to get a permit. Nothing goes to the landfill. It's all recycled. Many, many companies in the country, major corporations, are doing a no landfill. So the ecological cost of producing what we enjoy is no longer being passed on to the consumers in that form, at least in the industry that I work in. And that is the construction industry, where there's no landfill on most of the major city construction projects nowadays. And it's time for all of the industries, particularly the extraction industries, to start paying the ecological cost and the incremental cost of paying for... Somebody's talking about 7,000 gallons or a million gallons of water through a reverse osmosis treatment plant for the groundwater for $37 million against $18 billion. I mean, that's chump change. The economic incremental cost of really being responsible for the ecological cost of what we're getting. And God knows I use copper. It's in all the buildings we build. It's in my car. It's in my computer. It's everywhere. We need copper, no question about it. But the incremental cost of being responsible for the ecological cost of getting that stuff out of the ground, people are not even going to notice it's going to be so small. Add it to the cost, but don't add it to the water. I mean, water is irreplaceable. We got to drink it. We need it to live. We're 98% water in our bodies. We can't just make it a dumping ground. So please really consider seriously putting this back, investigating if it's going to make the water better or if it's going to make things easier for industry. Thank you.
Thank you. Kyle Johnson, and sir, I saw your hand up earlier. What was your name? Okay, and I see someone in a blue shirt there. Please stand up. Give your name. Okay, and sir in the red. Okay, please be sworn. All right, we'll start with Mr. Johnson.
The first thing that concerns me is a division in this community and throughout the state about integrity in government. And as I look at you, you all look like reasonable people. And I, as I understand, the commission you're all appointed. Some of you would have been appointed by Governor Martinez, and perhaps some of you are holdovers from the previous administration. But what we saw happen here with regard to the process that began over a year ago and was subverted and derailed in a meeting here that I attended with the New Mexico Environment Department. In that meeting, no one in the Environment Department would stand up and say, who made that decision to scuttle that stakeholder process report and replace it with what we have today? Do you know the answer to that? Did you ask the question? That is the division here. It's the division between integrity and submitting to a political process which subverts and corrupts government. That is what we have before us today. It has really, ultimately, little to do with Freeport-McMoRan or the activities at the mine. It has a much larger impact on how we will all live our lives as citizens of this country, as residents of this state, from this day forward. Either there is integrity in your body, and there is integrity in the Environment Department such that they will state clearly and unequivocally who made the decision, who was the lawyer who did it, who was the lawyer that changed it, who were the other lawyers involved, who were the lobbyists involved, what backroom deals were made, what lies were told, who lied, who deceived, who misled. That's the question before us. And I've heard plenty of people, both today, in that previous meeting, about, oh, the joys of having the copper company here. Our families for many generations, yes, my job, et cetera, et cetera. But if you think that the benefits that you received under this or a previous copper company will continue beyond the period of their profitability, I guarantee you, they will be out of here in a New York minute. And we have seen it repeatedly, the cycles of, particularly when the unions attain a certain influence or momentum, of laying people off. And that's how they deal with the issue. So don't be quite so comforted in your association with the mines. They are a corporation, and they are a person under our current law, but a person without a soul, and a person with only one purpose. When we see that in another human being, we usually refer to them as unbalanced, if they only have one obsession, one purpose, one goal, one meaning. In this case being their profits. They are being asked to adhere to best practices. Apparently, they don't view themselves as being the best company. Otherwise, they would adhere to best practices. So I would really like to hear, and I know that none of you are going to respond to this, but I will remember what the vote is from this, and I will know from that vote whether or not we live in a process where citizens' rights and the law is respected, or one in which profit and corruption determine how we live. Thank you.
Thank you. If you would repeat your name.
My name is Robert Lucero, and I'm a lifetime resident of Hanover, New Mexico, and I am adjacent to the company grounds, and I have lived there all my life. I own three pieces of property there. I am responsible for helping rape the Earth Mother. I worked at the mines from 1975 till 1981 up at Cobre Mines, and I saw how they worked. I worked under Cobre Mines, I worked under Sharon Steele, I worked under UV Industries, and as far as the groundwater pollution that I have seen and what the reclamation that the company has done, of course they reclamate and they take care of this piece of land over here where we can see, but where have they gotten the dirt and what have they done with the contamination that is still there? They have come and gone to the other side of the mountain and taken up all of our topsoils and taken them and covered up the contamination of the grounds where they are supposed to be cleaning. Instead of cleaning, all they are doing is covering up. The contamination is still there. Now, do not we have only contamination here? We also have contamination. We have ground on the other side of the mountain that is no longer of any. It's no good no more. It's down to bedrock. Now, I have three wells on three pieces of property on my land since the XSEW plant was put into operations, which I worked with James Hamilton on the dirt work on that project, and I also did iron work with Brown and Root to build that project up there. And today I am not proud to say that I worked and did those things, but being that I come from a mining family, that is what miners did. We worked at the mines. And today I am not happy to say that I was a worker of part of doing that issue. But I am concerned about the groundwaters. Now, what I see that they are doing and where they are pouring all those bazillions of gallons of water every day up there in Santa Rita on those tailings, to my knowledge, none of those tailings are lined. Where, and that, like I've heard here before, it's not a matter of whether it is or it isn't going to get into our groundwater. It's just a matter of time that it is going to get into our groundwater. And what are we going to do with this after we have it in our groundwater? Now, I heard also a gentleman mention about the tailings that are up in Hurley. Well, since I went back to Hanover in 97, there was a spill up at Cobre Mines. A tailings dam busted that ran almost all the way to Hurley. And this was a dry tailings dam that ran all the way almost to Hurley. You know, and was this creek cleaned up? No, it wasn't all cleaned up. Yes, when it's dry, everything turns white down there in Hanover. Now, the wells that I have are dry now. What is going to happen if the water tables do come up? What kind of quality of water do I get back into my wells? Now, right now, I am connected to the Hanover Water Association, which I have to buy my water. Before, I had my own water. The only thing I paid for was electricity to run my pumps, to run my water out of there. Now, I have to pay the Water Association for my water, and I don't believe that that is appropriate, and it's not right. And I don't think that this law that you guys are trying to pass is appropriate for the people of Grant County and the people of New Mexico. Thank you.
Thank you. If you would repeat your name, please.
My name is Edward Encinas, and I am the mayor of the town of Hurley. And I want to express that at this time, we still drink the water from the mine. We do not have our own water at this time. Our residents are still drinking the water. I have residents that are in the 60s, 70s that have retired from the mine, are still there, find no health problems. My wife is a long life resident there, 65 years old, no health problems. We are right near the tailings. We are recently now going in to get our own independent water. We have drilled some wells across the road from the tailings, which will be near the Grant County Airport. The results of the test wells have come very good. top-notch, that we can use that water for drinking, which we are in the process of doing, building the infrastructure for that. Our water sampling that comes in from the main water at this point, every month we have to take water samples. They all come at a high rate that they are good. And we have had not that. The mine in recent years, to help with the water, underground water, came into Hurley, went into the yards. They took the environmentalists, came in, and looked at what we had, and if it was zinc, if it was the different chemicals over there, came in and dug out all that materials. I was fortunate to get, like, most of my yard completely dug out. Many of the residents were taking their soils off of there to replace the soil with good soil. Again, I say that was something they were moving forward to help us with our water system. To this day, I believe if they do this project they're doing with the what they want to do, they're still looking forward to help the residents of Hurley. And like I say, we still drink their water, and it is still good water. Thank you.
Thank you. Just repeat your name, please.
Yes, my name is Frank Rowell, and I'd like to thank the Commission for coming to our Silver City. I'm a retired educator with over 32 years in the profession. I've never received a paycheck from Freeport or any kind of employment. And I would like to respectively but strongly disagree with the statement that the gentleman made earlier that Freeport is a soulless company. Freeport is made up of people just like you and I. I've had many family members and friends that live, worked, and play here in this community and have worked at Freeport and were able to pay the mortgages and take care of their children, pay their medical bills because of the copper industry. As an educator, I saw the fluxes, the ups and downs. As the mines went, so did the community went. When the economy was down, when copper was down, it was a struggle. It was a struggle within the schools. Freeport has been a lifeline and a bloodline to our community for many years, you know, before the Freeport Phelps Dodge. So I just would like to reiterate that I've looked over the copper rules. I've tried to understand them as best I can. I've looked at the process. I think it's been a process of integrity. I do commend the commission, and I do support the adoption of the copper rules. Thank you.
Thank you. By show of hands, how many more folks would like to offer non-technical public comment this evening? Show of hands. See two. I have Timothy Trescoat and Hillary Hudson. If you would both be sworn, please.
This hearing is for the express purpose to help the hearing officers arrive at the facts. So unarguably, my testimony, the first two people who spoke tonight, should not enter into your decision-making process. The first two speakers and myself are not fulfilling the requirements of this hearing. None of us are offering a single evidentiary fact. Since the weight of the evidence is important to an impartial hearing, the documentation of this event must be based on oral testimony, unread, and all things that are read must be submitted and then documented by you in a manner that does not impede the reading of it, only to identify who read it. This event must be based on oral testimony presented invariably to impute knowledge to the hearing officers. The officers present must remind themselves of their duty. They must swear and have sworn to base all decisions on facts spoken here today. Each of you should be able to document the findings and facts that led to your vote, none of which can be part of any process not concerned with following the local and state laws and community safety, of which employment is not a factor.
Thank you, Mr. Scott. Ms. Hudson? And if you would spell your name for us, please.
H-I-L-L-A-R-Y-H-E-D-S-O-N. It's on the side.
Okay, thank you.
I wish I had a
Parents Day director. I hope the whole thing will be clear and concise. I'd like to thank the Commission for coming here today to hear the community's comments. Closer? Okay. I didn't want to blast people's ears out because I have a naturally loud voice. But I've lived in Silver City for 3 years. I moved here on completion of my master's degree in environmental science from Northern Arizona University. I came here to work as a geographic information specialist. That means, for those of you who are not familiar, I will use spatially referenced data to analyze and answer a variety of environmental questions, as well as doing cartography and those sorts of things. As a part of my degree, I also had an opportunity to study hydrology and have had, in the course of my work in GIS, become familiar with some of the tools used for doing things like hydrological modeling of subsurface water. And so as a result, I have become aware of the fact that through such models, it is very difficult when you have pollution at point A. It is very difficult, given the great complexity of subsurface flow, to determine where pollution at point A might pop up. It is very difficult to determine. And as a result, it's my belief that the strictest regulations possible are necessary to protect community health, and that that there is disregard being shown at this point in time for the public health of our community, and that lessening the rules would in fact serve as an opportunity to place the health of the community at risk. Thank you for your time. Hearing my comments.
Thank you, Ms. Hudson. Is that all? Is there no one else who wishes to speak? All right. Thank you all very much. You will find the progress of this rulemaking on the Commission's webpage. So please check back. Thank you all. We're adjourned.
Thank you for joining us for part two of the Water Quality Control Commission's public hearing on the proposed water quality rules for the mining industry. We expect the Water Quality Control Commission to deliberate on the copper rules at its regular meeting on August 13th. To stay up on the issue, please visit GRIP's website at www.gilaresources.info. We hope you'll tune in again for next week's edition of Earth Matters here on Gila Members Community Radio.